Welcome to Irregular Climate, where we take a look at the irregular climate in our atmosphere and the irrational climate of global warming denialism. On this week's show, a year's worth of hindsight on the manufactured controversy of ClimateGate. I am Dan Muttall. It has been a year since emails were stolen from the Climatic Research Unit at the University of East Anglia. Climate deniers jumped on those emails and drummed up a scandal that became known as ClimateGate, calling it the final nail in the global warming coffin. Well, not the final nail, but the latest in a long line of supposed final nails. Since then, ClimateGate has become perhaps the most widely cited reason by deniers for dismissing global warming as a massive conspiracy. But is that a valid reason? Just think about that for a second. Can the consensus of an entire field of science be overturned by a small selection of cherry-picked, leaked emails? I don't think so. The point is that bad science is not countered by stolen emails, but rather by more science. That is to say, science is self-correcting, which is precisely what makes it so valuable. Of course, more science takes time. So last year, when the emails were released, we didn't have the luxury of more science. So we had to look into the emails. But something in the emails was missing. There was no mention of conspiracy, and there was a conspicuous absence of any marching orders from Al Gore's socialist, communist, Nazi, vegetarian world government. But now we have the benefit of time to analyze what actually happened. The first thing we might want to look at are the official investigations that sprung up. There were five of them. First, we had an investigation from the UK House of Commons Science and Technology Committee. They found that Phil Jones, the head of the Climatic Research Unit, had no case to answer and that his reputation remains intact. Then, there was the independent panel set up by the University of East Anglia to examine the research of the Climatic Research Unit led by Lord Oxborough, the former chair of Shell Oil in the UK, and he found no evidence of any deliberate scientific malpractice in any of the work of the Climatic Research Unit. Then there were two investigations by Penn State looking into Michael Mann's conduct, and Michael Mann, remember, is the author of the original hockey stick graph, and those investigations likewise found that the charges against Mann were completely without basis. Then there was the Independent Climate Change Email Review, which found that the scientists' rigor and honesty as scientists were not in doubt. And if that wasn't enough, there was even a spirited defense of Phil Jones by Roy Spencer, who is one of the only remaining climate scientists who is not yet convinced by the overwhelming evidence supporting global warming. And even the Conservative government in the UK recently stated that the information contained in the illegally disclosed emails does not provide any evidence to discredit anthropogenic climate change. But what about the gaggle of gates that followed? The news reports of errors and malpractice amongst IPCC officials. They have all been retracted and corrected. There was an apology and retraction from the Sunday Times. The Dutch government accepted responsibility for giving the IPCC inaccurate data, and the BBC likewise apologized. The only thing left was one typo in the 3,000-page report in regards to Himalayan glaciers. And it was brought to the public's attention not by a denier, not by an auditor, or even someone wishing to damage the IPCC's credibility, but by an IPCC author. It turns out that IPCC authors want the report to be as accurate as possible, and when they find errors, they try and get them corrected. But in the black-is-white, up-is-down world of climate denialism, identifying and correcting errors is seen as a bad thing. So let's tally the score. We have 7 vindications of climate science and a whole raft of apologies and retractions from the news agencies who spread the gaggle of Gates that followed the email leaks. So much for the final nail. In other words, ClimateGate was this scandal that wasn't. It was a manufactured controversy. But we can go further than that. In the past year, has any science been published that discredits the science done by the Climatic Research Unit and the others implicated in the emails? Nope. Just a lot more research pointing to a distinct, discernible human fingerprint on the climate. When several lines of evidence all point to a single conclusion, scientists take notice. And so should we. And that is exactly what we have with climate science. In fact, as I mentioned on the last episode, the Geological Society just issued a position statement agreeing that global warming is caused by our greenhouse gas emissions, and they arrived at this conclusion solely with geological data. No carbon models or urban heat islands, just rocks. The bottom line is that there exists many independent lines of evidence all pointing to the same conclusion, and that is why scientists are so confident they have it right. But what else can we look at? Have any scientific bodies like the National Academy of Sciences or the American Association for the Advancement of Science, to name two of the most prestigious, have they changed their stance? Nope. They still say the same thing, that the Earth is warming and the culprit is our greenhouse gas emissions. So that really only leaves 2 possible conclusions. That the science supporting climate change remains intact, that it hasn't been disproven or weakened, and that the case for global warming is as strong as ever, basically that ClimateGate was a manufactured scandal, or the other option is that there exists a massive conspiracy. It exists amongst the tens of thousands of scientists, all the leading scientific institutions, scientific journals, universities, and even the Conservative government of the UK. Actually, virtually all governments would have to be in on it, as would nature itself. Where have I heard something similar? Well, it sounds an awful lot like the quacks who think the moon landings were fake, or like the cranks who think that 9/11 was an inside job, or even like the crackpots who claim that vaccines cause autism. All of these are very extraordinary claims. And as Carl Sagan was fond of saying, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. And so far, the evidence presented has been anything but extraordinary. It doesn't even come close to demonstrating that mainstream science is corrupt. So, for the exact same reason why I don't accept the claims that the moon landings were a hoax or that 9/11 was an inside job, which are 2 very extraordinary claims, I don't accept that mainstream climate science is corrupt or part of a massive conspiracy. The real questions to arise from ClimateGate are why it happened and why the reporters got the story so thoroughly wrong. The first question is interesting and unfortunately completely unsurprising. For several years now, the deniers have been focusing on a few talking points. Points that have been debunked so many times and so thoroughly that they were losing their effectiveness. Add to this that the Copenhagen conference, where nations would try and hammer out a successor to the Kyoto Protocol, was approaching, and it was inevitable that the deniers would try something. So, having failed to attack the science, they went after the scientists themselves, who now report that they are subject to threats of violence against them and their families. so the deniers successfully launched an attack on servers in the University of East Anglia. This wasn't a simple attack that any script kiddie could accomplish. According to the journal Nature, while the investigation into who was behind the attack is ongoing, the evidence has effectively ruled out a leak from inside the climatic research unit. And it is believed that other climate research organizations' systems were also attacked at around the same time. Thankfully, those attacks were unsuccessful. We also know that Real Climate was hacked. Thankfully, the hack was discovered and the site taken offline before any real damage could be done. So we know the attack was sophisticated. This wasn't some disgruntled blogger somewhere, but part of a large, sophisticated attack on climate science and scientists. And while this type of thing is not unprecedented, just look at the history of tobacco, acid rain, and the hole in the ozone layer. In fact, many of the same deniers who now deny climate science used to deny the link between tobacco smoke and cancer, or between CFCs and the ozone hole, or that industrial pollution was causing acid rain. That's some kind of track record, and more than enough reason to ignore these deniers. So, while this wasn't unprecedented, the scale and sophistication of the attack was. The deniers have refined their techniques over the decades and reached despicable and deplorable new lows in their attempt to convince others that reality is not real. Why? Because some of the most profitable industries on the planet might be less so if the majority of people understand the climate problem. Follow the money. And the total revenues from the production, transportation, refining, and consumption of raw fossil fuels is roughly $9 trillion, or nearly 3,000 times greater than the amount spent on climate science. And the vast majority of that money is spent on launching satellites and building supercomputers. Scientists just aren't getting rich by doing climate science. But many people are getting rich thanks to fossil fuels. And while that isn't a bad thing, it does provide motive. So that is why it happened. But the real question is why the media went along with it. Mere days after the emails were leaked, op-eds in supposedly respectable media outlets that this was the final nail in the coffin of global warming, that this was the abject corruption of climate science, and that it was a scandal that is one of the greatest in modern science. But it would have been impossible for journalists to examine and determine the implications of 1,000 emails in just a couple of days. Instead, they parroted the deniers' talking points. After all, this gave journalists a whole new hook to hang the global story on. Before ClimateGate, the media thought that the global warming story had been told. Greenhouse gas emissions were warming the planet, and that was bad. Bad enough that serious thought should be given to reducing emissions. But that was boring. The story had not changed in almost a decade. The new science that was being done didn't change this big picture and was virtually meaningless to everyone but climate scientists and climate geeks like myself. But ClimateGate was new. It was exciting. So they wrote stories. Stories that were untrue, but helped sell newspapers. Stories that had devastating consequences for the scientists involved. Many of them received death threats. Dr. Phil Jones, the director of the Climatic Research Unit and the man at the center of the negative attention, contemplated suicide. Thankfully, according to an interview he gave to Nature, it looks as though he is doing much better now and able to focus on what he loves doing. Science. But worse, the media portrayed, and for the most part continues to portray, climate science as a house of cards. Something teetering on the brink of collapse, which will come crashing down if even one piece is discredited. This is fundamentally wrong, as Kate from the blog Climate Site states. Even if, for the sake of argument, all science conducted by the Climatic Research Unit was fraudulent, our understanding of global warming would not change. The Climatic Research Unit runs a global temperature data set, but so do at least six other universities and government agencies around the world. Their independent conclusions are virtually identical. The evidence for human-caused climate change is not a house of cards that will collapse as soon as one piece is taken away. It's more like a mountain. Scrape a couple pebbles off the top, but the mountain is still there. Unfortunately, the media rarely takes a critical look at itself, and that is the real scandal. The fact that some bad people stole some emails is bad, but it's exactly what you expect bad people to do. The fact that the media took the bait and decided to parrot denier talking points is nothing short of scandalous. The media plays an integral part of our modern democratic society, but if it cannot report accurately, then what use does it have? The bottom line of ClimateGate is that 1 year later, we have seven vindications of climate science and a whole raft of apologies and retractions from the news agencies who spread the gaggle of gates that followed the leaked emails. But more than that, we have an ever-increasing pile of evidence supporting the conclusion that our greenhouse gas emissions are causing the world to warm. And there is no scientific body of national or international standing that rejects this. Deniers might want you to believe that this is all part of a massive conspiracy involving tens of thousands of scientists, all sorts of academic institutions, scientific institutions, and virtually all the world's governments. Even nature would have to be in on this conspiracy. But such extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. And until they provide something truly extraordinary, I'll continue to regard the supposed climate conspiracy the same way I regard all other conspiracies. Reality doesn't care about emails. That's it for this week's show. Show notes will be posted at irregularclimate.com. Also at the website, there are plenty of RSS feeds for subscribing to the podcast. We are also available in the iTunes Music Store and the Zune Marketplace. We also have links to our Twitter and Facebook pages. And if you feel so inclined and want to support the podcast, you can donate to Irregular Climate via PayPal. The links are all on the website. But if you are unable or unwilling to donate, please continue to download and listen. That, in and of itself, supports the show and helps it grow. I am Dan Mutal. You can follow me online at ofdan.ca, where you can see links to my blog, my Twitter feed, my Flickr feed, and my brand new photography website, Eye of Dan. Thanks, and until next week, try and stay regular.